Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm Susan Drummond, the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today is March 28th, 2019, Thursday morning, about 9 a.m. We have just one item on the agenda. This is the Costello Conditional Use Permit and Shoreline Substantial Development Permit for an accessory dwelling unit. The permit numbers are 18-05258 and 18-05283. The order of procedure will be as follows. We will hear first from the Planning Department. Planning Department will provide a summary of the proposal, and I have reviewed the staff report and the attached exhibits describing the project. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to present on the project. Then we'll open this up for public comment. Anyone who is here who wishes to testify on the proposal may do so. The applicant will then have an opportunity to address any questions or concerns which arise. Planning Department may have clarifications, and I may have questions throughout the proceeding. So I think with that, we'll let Planning Department go ahead and step forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
If you can hear me okay, right?
Yeah. I can hear you. It looks like your mic is on. If you could state your name for the record.
Catherine Schaefer.
And you swear to tell the truth today.
I do.
Thank you.
Well, as I mentioned, my name is Catherine Schaefer, and I'm a planner with the Department of Community Development, and I'm here today to present a conditional use permit and a shoreline substantial development permit for an accessory dwelling unit located at 1525 Colchester Drive East. And I'd like to begin the presentation with just two housekeeping items. First, I'd like to enter exhibits 1 through 32 into the record.
Okay.
And then I'd like to make one small change to the staff report. It's condition number 32. It reads, the placement of residential development on the property shall be located to make installation of a shoreline protection structure unnecessary. I'd like to change that to make installation of additional shoreline protection structure unnecessary. So I'll get into it later, but the property already has a bulkhead.
Right.
So I'll explain that later, but I'd like for that to be changed.
Okay, and those exhibits 1 through 32 are admitted.
Okay, great, thank you. So Carol and Edward Costello are proposing to convert and expand an existing garage into an 898 square foot accessory dwelling unit. And the subject property is located in Manchester, which is in South Kitsap, Commissioner District Number 2. And the subject property is zoned Manchester Village Low Residential, which requires a conditional use permit for accessory dwelling units. And the subject property is also located within 200 feet of the shoreline, which requires a shoreline substantial development permit. The two permits were received, reviewed, and are being presented concurrently. And I'm going to show a series of maps, and each one will zoom in further and further. So you can see on this regional map that the subject property abuts Puget Sound to the east and is off of Colchester Drive East. And then continuing to zoom into the neighborhood aerial, the subject property is 0.56 acres and is surrounded by residential homes pretty much all over the region, and the neighborhood are the single-family residences. And continuing to zoom in, actually, I want to point out one more thing. So the applicant also owns the two parcels to the north. It's the parcel, I think there's also a single family residence of the north and then to the west of that. So the applicant also owns that. And then zooming into the site aerial. The site aerial shows the primary residence, which is on the southern end of the subject parcel, and to the north of it, almost on the northern property line, is an existing attached garage. And this particular image is difficult to see the conversion of another garage, which is about mid parcel, that will be the proposed ADU. However, when I go to the critical area map, you can see the outlines of the existing structures a little bit better. The structure with the 1525 shows, that's the single family residence with the existing garage to the north, and then the proposed ADU you can see is that little box right there. And this is the critical area map, and the pink lines and pink shaded area are contour lines, and the closer the lines are together, the steeper the slope. And Kitsap County Code Title 19 deems slopes greater than 15% as geologic hazards. And the slope on this property is about 30% at some portions. And one of the conditions is that geologic documentation be required at the time of building permit, and that's condition number 31. And staff thinks that that is a life safety issue that needs to be addressed at the building permit level. As I mentioned earlier, the zoning for the project is Manchester Village Low Residential, which does require the conditional use permit with ADUs. And you can see that the zoning is consistent throughout the region. It has the same zoning, and there is a maximum density of 2 dwelling units per acre in this particular zone. And here's the shoreline designation map. Each shoreline property has a shoreline designation. It's almost like a zoning for shoreline properties. And this zoning for this property is shoreline residential, which requires an 85-foot buffer and a 15-foot building setback. And the conversion of the existing garage into the ADU is about 140 feet from ordinary high watermark. So it's setting it outside of that shoreline buffer and setback area, but it's still within the 200 feet of the shoreline designation. And for this particular property, the bulkhead serves as the ordinary high watermark in which that buffer and setback is measured. And here's the site plan. There is a lot going on with it, but I will explain it all. The blue circle represents the existing garage that's proposed to become the ADU. And the red circle is the primary single family residence. And then highlighted in yellow is the side street entrance for the primary residence. And one of the design standards for an ADU is that the primary residence and the ADU use the same side street entrance.
Right.
And the application proposes to have a new driveway from that entrance point. And I apologize, I wish I had a pointer, but the applicant's proposing to make a driveway right from the north of that yellow line so that the ADU can access from the same point. And then the gray driveway from the south.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. The gray driveway from the south is an existing driveway. It's been there. And the neighbor to the south actually accesses their property through the Costello's property. So typically we would have the subject property close off that second access point so the ADU and the single family residence could use the same entrance. But because it accesses to the property to the south, an applicant did provide easement documentation showing that there is an easement there, it will remain open.
So just to clarify,
yes.
The gray is for reflects the entrance for the neighboring property.
Correct.
On the south.
Yes.
And
yes.
The only entrance on this for both the ADU and the residence would no longer be the yellow line, but would be that new, just above the gray where they're showing that entrance point. Have I got that right?
So the yellow line is the existing driveway,
right.
If you're going to drive to the single family residence, and then the applicant is proposing to add a driveway from the yellow line right to the left of the ADU, so it kind of connects the yellow line and then the gray line in between. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but does the current, because their current access point is through the yellow line closer to the water?
Correct. Yeah, that's how you would, if you were going to drive to the single family residence, that's
currently.
How you would do it. Yeah.
Will it remain that way? Or
correct,
this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then the southern one, typically we would have them close it off, but it's the access point for the property to the south. So then we would pretty much be denying them the access to their to their house if we said, hey, you have to close this off. So, but the ADU will access through the yellow line.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you have any questions down the line, just please let me know.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and another requirement for an ADU is that the owner has to reside in either the ADU or the primary residence. So the Kitsap County Assessor's Office shows that Carol Costello Trustee is the actual owner, but the applicant provided some the trust excerpts to show that it's a revocable trust, and that for the purposes of our application, the owners do reside in the primary residence.
Right. I guess technically it would be the trust that owns the property, not the trustee, and I can clarify that with the applicant. But
okay.
It's for purpose. I'm not concerned about the
okay.
distinction for purposes of the ownership.
Okay.
Criterion.
I did run this through our legal, and that's the rundown that they gave me. So, but and feel free to ask the applicant.
Okay.
And the proposed ADU is 100 feet from the primary residence, which meets the requirement that if it needs to be within 150 feet of the primary residence. And all the zoning setbacks for the MVLR zone are met. And there are no other ADUs, accessory living quarters, or guest houses present or proposed. And on the left is the floor plan for the single family residence. It's 3,443 square feet. And an ADU is restricted to 50% of the habitable area of the single family residence with a cap of 900 square feet. So this ADU is proposed to be 898 square feet, which meets the size requirements. And next here are the elevations. On the left is a single family residence, and then on the right is the proposed ADU. And they will be similar in appearance. And condition 7 addresses the consistent design and appearance of the ADU and the primary residence. As you can tell, the decks are very similar, and you can't see the roof that well in the single family residence picture, but the roofs are going to be similar. So they will look kind of like a matching pair. And this project was found to be consistent with the comprehensive plan and Kitsap County Code with no detrimental characteristics. And staff recommends approval of the project with 35 conditions. And I'm happy to address questions.
I don't have any at this time.
Okay, so. Sounds good.
Thank you. Is the applicant here? Yes, did you all, one of you, or who, I mean, all of you can speak, but which one of you wanted to step up first? Good morning.
Morning.
Can you state your name for the record?
William M. Palmer. I'm a land use planning consultant here representing Edward Costello, who is also present, can answer questions if there are any. And also Kim May, he is our engineer on the project, and he's available to answer questions as well.
Okay. Let me swear you in. You swear to tell the truth this morning.
I do.
Okay, thank you.
I was expecting a different kind of question for telling the truth, but that's all right. At any rate, we are in concurrence with the staff report, so we don't have any contested items. There is on page 6 a statement about affordable housing, and I want to make a pitch for that because I want to encourage the Department of Community Development to do more about looking at their regulations to promote affordable housing, and certainly approval of accessory dwelling units in rural areas is one of those things that can be part of a affordable housing program in the county. And I would also encourage the county to take away the requirement for a conditional use permit in rural areas, because I think if you look at the history of conditional use permits for ADUs, they're probably 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent approved. With very little opposition. So I think that having to go through this process is very expensive and not necessary. But I know what the code says, so I'm not arguing.
Yeah, no, that's a legislative and policy decision,
right.
And it's also driven by the Growth Management Act requirement. So
just want to put that on the record. As I said, we don't really have any particular issues with the staff report, so take any questions that come
I don't have too many. I did want to just clarify. I think technically it's the trust, Carol A. Costello Trust, which holds the property from a legal standpoint.
Right.
But I understand this will be is the primary residence. So I do not I don't have a concern with that distinction, but I just wanted to kind of clarify that.
Okay. If we could go back a slide or two, I wanted to clarify that one. I don't know if this shows up on yours, but this is the driveway connection that Catherine was talking
right.
about. I almost came up to give her my pointer, but and for those out in the audience, this is the driveway connection that we're making for the ADU, and the parking area for the ADU is right here. It's already an established parking area. And that's, of course.
Actually, can you put the pointer? Let's see. Oh, okay, you've got it right there.
This is the parking area
got
for
it.
The ADU.
Yeah.
It's a gravel parking area that's been there for quite some time. And it's where they used to park before they developed this circuitous route down to their main house. And it doesn't show up, but there's a kind of a elevated walkway connection between the house and the ADU. That's just for information that they have a symbiotic relationship, even though it appears just to be a path. There's actually an elevated walkway there, and you enter the house from the second level. Mr. Costello wants to answer any questions, he can do so.
Hey, he may step forward. I don't have any substantive questions, though.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Costello, did you want to step forward? Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you state your name for the record?
Edward Costello.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Thank you.
I do.
Is there anything you wanted to add, or
not really? Just to maybe to clarify, if you wish to enter the main entrance of the primary mm-hmm. residence, you just simply park in that white area
mm-hmm.
and walk down that walkway to the front door.
Oh, okay.
Okay. If you wish to come in the back of the entrance, you use the yellow driveway.
Okay.
So we have multiple access.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
At this point, we'll open. Is there anything further from the applicant? Nope. And you'll have an opportunity if anything comes up to address questions. Is there anyone here in the audience who wishes to provide testimony this morning? Okay, let the record reflect that there is not anyone here who indicated they wish to testify. And I assume there's no one on no one on the sign-up sheet. Did the planning department have anything else to add? Okay. I have reviewed everything which is in the record, staff reports, and the exhibits, and today's testimony helped address my questions on this. I do think that the applicant has met his burden to demonstrate compliance with the county's criteria for approval of both the ADU and the shoreline substantial development permit. And as was pointed out earlier, there are a fair number of criteria for the applicant to meet. And I think the staff report did a good job of spelling out how those criteria are met. So I will be issuing an approval of these permit requests that will be issued come out within 10 business days of today. I will send that to the hearing examiner clerk, and then she will provide that to the applicant. Are there any questions on procedure or anything else? Anything else we need to address today? Yes. If you could step forward so we can capture it on the microphone.
I just had one.
And if you could state your name for the record.
Okay. Kim May.
And you swear to tell the truth, although this wouldn't be testimony at this point. Or
today and every day.
Yeah.
Just one quick question. You mentioned about the shoreline protection.
Correct, yeah.
Additional protection. Yeah. So what were you after there?
If you could state your name again for the record.
Catherine Schaefer, mm-hmm. and I believe that's condition number 32 you're talking about. So it's a standard condition that we put on shoreline properties, and the idea is that if you don't have a bulkhead or you have an existing bulkhead, to expand it or to get a new bulkhead, you have to prove that a particular structure is a threat from erosion within 3 years. So what we don't want people to do is put a structure on and then in a few years later say, well, I need a bulkhead now to protect this structure. So it's really to make sure that everything that we're building won't require additional shoreline armoring.
So it does not impose a new requirement, I guess. It sounded like that was what the question, that condition.
Yeah, correct. Clarifies. So there's already a bulkhead on the property.
Yeah,
so
it's already protected.
You wouldn't be able to say that now that you have an ADU that needs to be protected from, you know, the shoreline erosion, now I need a bigger bulkhead.
Does that preclude any repairs?
Nope. You can repair and replace in the same footprint, yeah.
There's a small section there that is timber.
Okay.
And we would replace that timber and put our energy dissipator behind.
Correct. So, yeah, repair and replace are fine. Just no additional. So,
yep. Okay.
Thank you all. All right. I think anything else? All right. We are adjourned. Thank you all.